Welcome to Torah Timecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rivka Alter, and today we will be studying Yeshayahu Perek Chaf Dalid 24. Many commentators believe that this perek is referring to the galut of the 10 tribes, the exile of the 10 northern tribes of Israel. And it starts off with this unfortunate bad news and reality, but in typical Yeshayahu style, it will end off with consolation for the ones who will survive. Let's focus on the first six psukim. The perek opens with the word hine, behold, something which is going to happen soon. Hine Hashem bokek haaretz uvloka. Hashem is going to empty the land and destroy its inhabitants, like an earthquake that confuses and changes the shape and face of the earth. As a result, Perek Bet tells us, Vehaya ka'am ka'kohen ka'eved ka'adonav, ka'shivcha ki'gvirata, ki'kone ki'mocher, ki'milave ki'love, ki'noshe ka'asher nosebo. The layman will be like the kohen. The slave and the maidservant will be like their masters. The buyer will be the seller. The lender will be like the lendee. The differences that are described here in status will go away. A non-Kohen will be the same as a Kohen, a servant like a master, rich like poor. Pasuk Gimel informs us that society will be in a state of upheaval, and no one will be able to claim ownership of possessions. All will be looted, and it ends, this Pasuk ends off telling us that this is all a gzera from Hashem, ki Hashem diber et hadavar hazeh. Hashem speaks this matter. In Pasuk Dalet, it repeats words of destruction three times, which could correspond possibly to three different stages of the conquest of Sancheirev when he came to the northern kingdom. First, he started with Ever Hayardain, the eastern side of the Jordan River. Then he conquered the northern part of Israel, the land which is the Shvatim of Zvulun and Naphtali, and the third time was everyone else as part of the northern kingdom. In Pasuk Hey, we're told Veha'aretz chanfa tachat yoshveha, ki avru torot chalfu chok heferu brit olam. The land was defiled by wicked people, and the brit, the covenant between the people and the land and Hashem, was broken because the people did not keep the laws properly. This goes back to what we had been warned about in Bamidbar, Perek Lamed Hey, 35, as we were warned, V'lo tachnifu et ha'aretz, the same shoresh is used there, in the context of the Arei Miklat, the cities of refuge, when people are killed unnecessarily, and when there are murders that exist, it pollutes and corrupts and defiles the land. And here we see the actualization of some of this. In describing the experience of what this punishment will be like for the nation, the psukim speak of vineyards and grapes being destroyed. As we know, happiness is often linked to the consumption of wine. There will be no more parties with wine and with singing. In Pasuk Yud, the city is now referred to as Kiryat Tohu, a city that is destroyed after the plundering of the enemy, reminding us of what the world was like, the Tohu Vavohu of the world before creation took place in Bereshit. No one will come and visit because there will be no inhabitants in the land. And the openings to the houses are going to be blocked by the debris of stones and dust. People will be yelling in the streets. The city could also be referred to as Kiryat Tohu based on the actions of the people, whose actions are unfortunately hevel and nothingness. Again, what the world was like before creation. The result of the destruction in Pasuk Yud Gimel is compared to an olive tree after it's beaten with very few olives left on the tree, or the little amount of fruit or produce left at the completion of a harvest in a field. Those few who remain will sing praises to Hashem because his greatness will be seen by those saved, whether people on the sea or by land. Something we'll see that I wanted to point out that we'll see in the next several prakim are that there are two general approaches to understanding these prakim. When we talk about destruction and then salvation, whether referring to events and challenges leading to the final geula, or whether they are about events in the immediate time of Yeshayahu himself. Many of the messages of the Navi can apply to both historical time periods. And the beauty of these nevuot is how they can be understood on two different planes, and how specific words communicated can convey several layers of meaning. In Pasuk Yud Gimel, what we just talked about, the ones who remain in the land will be like the olive tree, and the ones who go into Galut will be like these olalim, the produce left over after harvest. And the Radak and others say that what we're actually speaking about are about the survivors of the war of Gog Umagog, which will precede the final Geula. When they witness the downfall of the powerful enemies of the Jewish people, these people who remain will offer praise. In Pasuk Tetvav, Al Kain Ba'urim Kabdu Hashem. Therefore, the lights will honor Hashem. The word Urim refers to the nations in the east, the direction where light comes from each morning. And in the islands, Iye Hayam, which are to the west. Shem Hashem Elokei Yisrael. They will honor Hashem. So east to west, Hashem will be honored. Similar to what we say in Hallel. Mi Mizrach Shemesh Ad Mivo'o Mihulal Shem Hashem. These lights could be referring to two future redemptions, in the future from Bavel and then from Edom. And for each of them, and by each of those, there will be cause for praise in recognizing Hashem's greatness that will emerge. Pasuk Tet Zion speaks of the land itself singing praises to Hashem. But when the Navi hears it, he is in pain and proclaims the famous words, Razili, Razili, Oili. These words are a little bit elusive, and there are many different interpretations for what exactly is going on. Some explain, as I just mentioned, it's an expression of pain from the Navi, where Yeshayahu is expressing this pain based on witnessing the traitorous and wicked acts of the people in the land, and what Hashem will need to do to the land as a result. However, the word raz can also mean a secret, and we said it's mentioned twice, so times two. Based on this, the words that we learn, these words from Masechet Sanhedrin teach us that maybe Yeshayahu is referring to secrets of both the Galut and the Geula that have been revealed to him. And he says, oily, and it's painful to him because he now knows that the Geula is still a far way off. This can link to the second part of the Pasuk where he says, Bogdim Bagadu Ubeged, Bogdim Bagadu. A lot of mention of the word traitor and traitorous acts. The traitors are the nations, and the exiles that are all upcoming are mentioned maybe by these five manifestations of the Shoresh of Bagad, of being a traitor, which could correspond to these five nations that will be part of our exile or part of exiling us, starting with Bavel, Madai, Paras, Yavan, the Greeks, and Edom. It says the phrase Bogdim Bagadu, because each exiling nation will overtake the nation that had been in rule previously through overtaking them through traitorous acts that the people will do in the land. This gezeira, we're told, is coming from Hashem in Shamayim, as Pasuk Yudchet talks about, Arubot mimarom niftachu. The windows from above are opened and will cause this devastation and punishment. This pasuk uses similar language to that of the Mabul, of the flood, which also spoke about Arubot HaShamayim opening and bringing devastation to the inhabitants of the land. Psukim Yurchet through Chaf speak of people running and tripping on one another, and the land is trembling and shaking and breaking because of the heavy load of sin that will cause lots of breakage that is unable to be repaired in the land. This idea of the land trembling and the earthquakes that will be part of the punishment bring us back to the beginning of the Perek that discussed how the structure that existed in society will be overturned, in this case, literally. The sins of the evildoers have undermined society to the extent that the punishment will be that the structure that we are used to existing in society and the different classes of people are going to become insignificant. Rashi says this also can refer to the people who run away from the sword of Mashiach ben Yosef, who will fall by sword in the hands of Mashiach ben and then Mashiach ben David will emerge. The Midrashim discuss the emergence of Mashiach ben Yosef in the Galil, and they will then travel. The people will travel with him to Yerushalayim, where he will help with the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash and offer sacrifices, and then go fight nations that he will capture, like Moab and Edom and Gog, and then Magog will descend upon him and Gog will kill him in the streets of Yerushalayim. There's a lot of ambiguity about this leader and how things will play out in messianic times, but conceptually, we can understand that the role of Mashiach ben Yosef may be a chance to repair the effects from when the Jewish kingdom was split into Ephraim, Yosef, versus Yehuda during the time of Yeravam ben Nevat, who was from the tribe of Yosef. His actions and the split of the Melucha, the kingdom, was never repaired and were a significant cause of the downward spiral which led to the eventual galut and destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash and the Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David working together here to bring the ultimate redemption and build the third Beit HaMikdash will be the keys to bringing about our salvation. The Perek ends off talking about the people and kingdoms who are haughty and think they are as high as the sky. They are referred to back in Pasuk Dalid as Marom Am Haaretz, and in Pasuk Chaf Aleph here at the end of the Perek as Tzva HaMarom, Marom meaning the sky. They will end up, as we're told, being gathered in a pit when they are brought down. Our last Pasuk of the Perek, Pasuk Chaf Gimel, talks about the moon and the sun. The moon will lose light and the sun will be dimmed once Malchut Hashem will shine and the light from Malchut Hashem will overpower the physical lights that have been in the world, which will be less needed, and everyone will come and give kavod to Hashem and recognize his kingship as supreme. The Gemara in Sanhedrin links Pasuk Tet Zayin, which we mentioned earlier, to a well-known discussion of Chizkiyahu's potential of possibly being Mashiach during Yeshayahu's time, which ends up not being actualized when he does not sing Shira to Hashem after the miraculous events of his time, which we will talk about in some of the future Nivuot of Yeshayahu. Amrami dat hadin lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara tells us that the attribute of justice said before Hashem, Ribono shel Olam, Uma David HaMelech, David Melech Yisrael, She'amar kama shirot v'tishbachot lefanecha. Hashem, Master of the Universe, with regard to David, King of Israel, whom we know recited several songs and praises before you, Lo asito Mashiach, but yet you still did not make him Mashiach. Chizkiyah, she'asita lo kol hanisim halalu. Chizkiyahu, who you did perform all these miracles for. V'lo amar shira lefanecha, yet he did not say shira before you. Ta'asehu Mashiach, you're going to make him Mashiach. You would designate him as Mashiach. For this reason, we're told that the information about Mashiach was closed and the opportunity for redemption was thwarted. Miyad patcha ha'aretz ve'amra lefanav. Immediately the earth began and stated before Hashem, Ribono shel Olam, Master of the Universe, ani omeret lefanecha shira tachat tzadik zeh. I will recite song before you in place of this righteous person, referring to Chizkiyahu. Ve'asa'ehu Mashiach. And you can still then make and designate Chizkiyahu as Mashiach. Patcha ve'amra shira. Therefore, the earth began and sang shira, as is stated, and this is where our pasuk is quoted, Miknaf ha'aretz zmirot shamanu. Tzvi latzadik. From the uttermost part of the earth, we have heard songs, glory to the righteous. And then we have the words that come up, razili, razili, oily. Those words we talked about before and understood in different ways. A divine voice emerged and said, my secret is mine, my secret is mine. This matter will remain secret as I am not yet ready and bringing the redemption. And Yeshayahu then says, oily, woe unto me, woe unto me. And here we are still waiting for Mashiach to come. Bimhei Rabbi Aminu. Thank you for studying together, Li'ilui Nishmat Riva Schwab, Rivka Bat Alexander Sender.